Hello, let me turn off my lights. I've been over here like a mad woman, filming reels. So, can you guys hear me? Give me a thumbs up or something. Can you hear me, Erica?
Yep, I can hear you. You're good.
So, for those of you guys, if anybody's on here new, we want you guys to edit your name. Make sure you edit. Tell me how many weeks postpartum, how many weeks pregnant. Oh, now I see, Mary. I saw that you wrote that. Thank you. Oh my gosh, what a day. Anybody else feel like they just can't get everything done in one day? Or am I just extremely unorganized? I think that might be the problem too. But anyway, I'm hoping that Lene gets on here tonight. We've hired, or we have a new doula on our team. So I'm super excited about her. I'm hoping she can. Oh, Mary, I just saw, wait. Interesting. I'm seeing what you said about tell me what you were asking about Black Cohosh. Oh, I can't hear you. Unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So I had one of my midwives at the practice I was at recommended Black Cohosh, and so I ordered it, but I never got the chance to open it or take it because baby's here now. So and unfortunately it's unreturnable, just because it's a food product,
Yeah.
but I don't want it to go to waste or throw it away or anything, so I didn't
Where
know if
do you live?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina.
I may buy it from you just to use for a prop. I'll message you in there.
Okay, that works.
But it tastes so bad, you guys.
Yeah, she warned me of that. I'm glad I never had to try it.
I did it when I was pregnant with Gavin. There is this, oh gosh, Seventh Day Adventist maybe, like village or something near Chattanooga where I used to live, and they had an all natural pharmacy, which was amazing to have nearby. And this was back, now they say not to drink blue cohosh, I believe. You can black, not blue. And my midwife told me to go get that stuff and do drops of it. It was like straight up dirt water.
I've never heard of it, so I didn't know that there was a difference between blue and black
Didn't work. It did not work.
either.
But yeah, the only thing that I have found, the two things that I found that really work to put you actually in labor is nipple stimulation and castor oil. And if anybody's done castor oil, not fun at all either. But the midwife's brew actually makes it tolerable because the almond butter binds to the castor oil and minimizes the side effects. Deborah said she's going to try it tonight. Okay, so let's check in real quick. Well, first of all, Mary, tell us how everything is. I always like to have my new mamas go first. That way, if they need to get off.
Actually, everything went really well. So sorry, I'm cold. I'm trying to find a blanket. Anyway, so everything's going really well. So I kind of have my dates twisted up a little bit. So let me think about this. So let's see. The ninth was today's Wednesday. So
Today's
the
the 11th. So the ninth was Monday.
ninth was Monday. Okay. So Saturday night going into Sunday, around, oh, I don't know, like 10, sometime between like 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night, I was switching positions in bed, and all of a sudden I felt a gush, and I thought, did I just pee myself? Was that my water? And then it happened like two or three more times. And I'm like, okay, this is different. So long story short, it was my water. I called the triage nurse at the midwifery that I was using. And so they had me do a test like at home. They said, okay, take a deep breath and cough. And if you gush anything out, then you've probably, you know, your water's probably broken. So they called us into the hospital. And we got to the hospital. I want to say we got in the car around 11:40 PM. And went to the hospital. It was a 35 minute drive to the hospital. And when we got into triage area, they did what's called an amnesure test.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tested positive for my water. And then so the midwife on call came in and they wanted to do, you know, a cervical check to get their baseline, and also check to see, to double check and make sure baby's head was down. So they did an ultrasound. And when they did the ultrasound, baby was actually transverse at first. Yeah. And I was
so, you were probably water, like, oh my God.
Yeah. I thought, wait a minute. She's been head down the last three times that I've gone into an appointment because they were palpating, you know, down by my pubic bone. And they're like, oh, we feel her head. And it's like, why would she have switched and went transverse? So, yeah. And then, so she was transverse on the first ultrasound and I was, you know, my linings weren't thinned out. I was at zero. So I was kind of like, crap, what are we going to do? And then, so they moved me to, labor and delivery finally. And the midwife had called in the on-call OB. And he wanted to do a second ultrasound just to confirm. And when they did that, she had finally moved positions.
It can happen in a moment, you guys. So don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
This is why I tell all of you guys, if your baby's breech and schedule you a C-section for it, always make sure that they do an ultrasound that morning before they do a C-section. Because I've been in so many breech C-sections when they've done the incision and baby is not breech anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You're okay. So they did the ultrasound. She had kind of re-engaged herself. He wanted to do a cervical check one more time just to make sure. Cause the midwife wanted him to double check, just, you know, for safety and everything. And so he said that he confirmed that I was at zero, and baby was like 2 or 3 centimeters above his like finger. So like she wasn't fully engaged, but she was head down.
Okay.
And then so long story short, you know, we waited to see if my body would start contractions and stuff on its own. So like, I think they say like usually 18 hours, is that safety window or whatever to see.
Is that what they were telling you for the water being broke?
So like, I think they were trying to say like, usually in 18 hours, you'll probably go into labor on your own if it happens.
That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so long story short, I was having, you know, I finally did start having some contractions, but they were very irregular. They were all over the place. But my body still wasn't opening up or thinning out on its own. And, you know, I kept pushing off Pitocin until I think we started the Pitocin Sunday at 1 p.m. And so they started that low and slow. And even with the Pitocin, my body wasn't quite where it needed to be. So I'm trying to think. Well, it was starting to open up, but it was opening up really, really slowly, which is kind of what they expected anyway.
Yeah.
And then by, let's see, by I think like 8:30, they had bumped my Pitocin up to level 10. And, you know, because they started it at 2, and then every like 45 minutes, they would adjust it by 2. And so they did that. And by the time we got to 8:30, my contractions were so strong on the Pitocin that you could tell that I was kind of like freaking out. I wasn't able to breathe through my contractions. It was too much for me. So we got myself an epidural, and they wanted me to sleep through the night, to try to sleep through the night, because they knew that I needed rest in order to make it through labor if I was going to still have a vaginal birth. So, because at that point I was so...
Let me interrupt really quick. So for those of you guys who don't know, Mary is one of my VBAC mamas. So she's had a cesarean. So she was really wanting a vaginal delivery.
Yeah.
And they have so many roadblocks, which makes no sense. Okay, go ahead.
And so when they bumped my Pitocin up to level 10, I was kind of ready to give up at that point, just because the contractions were so strong. Like they were, you know, like the bad part of Pitocin is that sometimes as you bump up, like it just makes your contractions so much more intense versus if you were going naturally on your own and they were increasing at their own rate, if that makes sense. But I'm trying to think, I really have dates and stuff mixed up. So I'm trying not to.
Okay. You're a new mom. I understand.
Yeah. And so anyway, I got the epidural, and I remember my epidural, like, I mean, it worked and it was great. And they got it on the first try, which was one of my, birth traumas for my previous birth. Mm-hmm. You know, no one likes being poked and prodded at. So the anesthesiologist did a really good job getting that in, and so good in fact that I remember having trouble resting and trying to sleep. Like I felt like I had restless leg syndrome. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. It was weird. It didn't make any sense, because I shouldn't have been able to feel anything. But they were so numb that I felt like I could feel everything, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so long story short, I want to say maybe around midnight, they came in and they did a cervical check, and I went from being at 0 to being at 5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like I got a couple hours of sleep, you know, when I finally did fall asleep after, you know, the epidural and everything. So I went from 0 to 5, and then I tried to get a couple more hours of sleep. I had a really good labor nurse, and I asked her, I was like, hey, one of the reasons why I didn't want to get an epidural, because I didn't want to be stuck in the bed, will you please come and rotate me like every 30 to 45 minutes? And she did it like on the dot. So I think that really helped move baby down and get her more engaged. And so I got a couple more hours of sleep, and then they came in. I want to say it was like 2 o'clock. I woke up and I remember feeling strong contractions through my epidural. And so I woke up my husband and I said, hey, please call my nurse. And so
the nurse came in and she, you know, she checked. She wanted to make sure that my Pitocin and my epidural and all that stuff hadn't run out in my IV. And then she did a cervical check. And so she said, I feel baby's hair. And I looked at her and I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I was half asleep. I was in and out of it. I thought she was nuts at first. And she said, I feel your baby's hair. Do you want to feel it? And so she grabbed my hand and I could touch baby's head. She was right there. Which, backing up a little bit, the process from the time that my water broke to the time that I was able to feel baby's head, my midwife was really concerned that my body was not going to potentially make it to, you know, being at a VBAC, just because, you know, like my body was taking so long to adjust and, you know, and trying to get to where it needed to be. So, you know, she was discouraged, but she was discouraged for me, if that makes sense.
But that's so maddening to me. I'm so sorry. That's so maddening to me, because to think that all of our bodies are going to do it exactly the same way. And
yeah,
this is what I want to tell you guys. If you guys are in labor and baby is doing fine and you're like, you know what, I've got more in me, then it's okay to keep going. Like, there are times where my mamas are like, you know, baby was doing fine and I was doing fine, but I just had no more in me. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she said, I guess a better way to put it is she basically told me like, you're the, 'cause when the baby was transverse at my first ultrasound, or the first ultrasound of the night, she says, you're probably going to have a bit of a hard road, but baby's healthy and we're going to give this, you know, all of that we can. Just know that it's probably going to be a little bit harder than if you had started labor and started dilating first and then your water broke, you know, because it had happened opposite.
So when the nurse checked you, were you complete? Baby's head was there. So what did they tell the doctor?
So at two, she came in and did the cervical check, because I said, hey, I'm feeling contractions through my epidural. What's happening? And so I felt baby's head. And it totally freaked me out. I mean, I was excited, but it freaked me out just because I was like, wait, what? What is this? You know, like, I just didn't expect how fast, because I mean, 2.5 hours earlier, they were telling me I was only at 5. So I slept for 2 more hours. And then it's like baby's head is like at the station where like it's go time to push. So I was like totally, I wasn't freaked out in a bad way. I was freaked out like, can we get the show on the road? So 30 minutes later, the midwife came in. Maybe it wasn't quite 30 minutes. But anyway, so they got everything ready. They took the lower part of the bed out. And my epidural was definitely doing its job. So I did end up pushing on my back. I don't think I could have pushed in any other position, just because, you know, like, I was so numb. So, you know, they had the stirrups up and I pushed, and from the time I started pushing, it took 34 minutes for me to push and baby was out. Yeah.
How did you feel that minute that you pushed the baby out? Like, what was the emotions going through you?
Like, oh my God, I did it.
rest of you guys, my VBAC mamas, when they deliver, it's almost like that cesarean like makes them feel like their body just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard, because at one point in the night while I was on the Pitocin, my contractions were so strong that, you know, I was doing such a good job as they were, you know, adding the Pitocin so slowly, and I was breathing through my contractions. But at one point it just got so intense. Like I broke down. I thought, I cannot do this. I'm done. I'm ready to stop. And so I almost gave in and wanted to go for cesarean. And like, and luckily it was like almost, I think that was around maybe, I don't know, maybe 10:30, sometime between 10:30 and midnight. Cause I'm pretty sure at midnight is when they came in and they told me I was at 5 centimeters. But I just remember like, this is way too intense. I can't do this anymore. So when baby finally came out, I was like, okay, I'm, you know, it was, yeah, it was just amazing.
We're super proud of you. I don't want to cut you short, but I want to give some other mamas some chances to ask some questions and share. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. We're so proud of you. So happy. Make sure you go to the postpartum happy hour tomorrow night.
Yeah, I will. Do you want to see baby real quick?
I would love to see baby real quick.
Okay, let me see. I don't know if I can flip it, so we'll see. Let's see what happens.
Oh my goodness. Look at those cheeks.
See, thank you. Her name is Kylie Ann.
Oh, she's precious. Those cheeks are something else.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I love newborns. This is why I have so many babies.
Yeah. She's only 2 days old.
Oh my gosh. I'm so proud of you. Well, let us know if you need any help. Make sure and send me some information about the cohosh. So, because I might get it from you.
Okay, that's good. I'll do it in my labor bat signal if that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. You have the labor bat signal until you're about 6 weeks, unless you need more help. It's always fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Let me jump over to Deborah. Deborah, are you dying over there? She's 40 weeks.
Hello. And I'm still working. So.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
Today was a little rough and everybody's like, please don't go into labor at work.
And she does eye stuff. I know this.
Yes.
I don't know why I had in my brain it was veterinarian stuff for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. And we had like 87 patients today. So it was great.
Oh, wow. Well, nothing like work until the end. I worked in labor and delivery till I want to say like 2 days before I had Grayson. I remember my last patient, my patient was like looking at me like, are you going to go in labor? Anyway.
Yeah. They all look at me like that all day long.
Yeah. And you're like, I hope so.
Yeah. I had my appointment yesterday and she said I was like definitely a 2, but I was very close to a 3 and they did a membrane sweep.
Okay. And you're thinking about doing the midwife's brew tonight. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I've had the stuff ordered and it finally all came in and I'm like, okay, it's due date. There's no like, I'm not having any regular contractions or anything like that. It's very tempting.
Yeah. Well, so my advice is to wait just a little bit because you had the membrane sweep. I would do one more and then do it. That would be okay. Because here's the thing about the midwife's brew. It will work if your body isn't ready. Like it does help, but it's also a little rough. So I would do, are you doing your 30 minutes of nipple stim?
Yes. I've been doing that for like almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah. So that probably is really helping. And that's probably why you're 2 centimeters. What did you say? Effacement? What was your effacement?
He didn't say.
Okay. Well, for those of you guys, ask, because they know that most moms want to know dilation, but those other numbers are so important. So I love to find out what your other numbers are, because that kind of tells me what's happening. How are you feeling mentally?
I'm good. Mentally, I'm good. I'm just exhausted.
I really can't believe you're 40 weeks. Deborah's been with me from the very first Fearless Birth experience.
Yeah. I think I was 14 weeks at that point.
Yeah. I love it.
Very so close.
Well, keep us posted. Do you have your labor bat signal going? I think you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I have so many going right now. I'm losing my mind. There's so many. I got to keep them straight. All right. Well, you got, just keep us posted.
And I will.
Be patient with your body. Are you going to stop working before baby comes, or are you going to just wait for baby?
I'm waiting for baby because I want to take my full 12 weeks after.
I did the same kind of. I mean, because I work as a nurse, so I only work 3 shifts a week. And so I kind of scheduled mine appropriately. But yeah, I did kind of the same because I wanted to just wait. All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Aggie, how are you? I really can't believe you're 39 weeks. I feel like it was like just yesterday. Hi. Trying to decide what provider to go to.
No, and I don't think I went to the best provider.
No, it's pretty much common. So kind of explain to everyone what you're going through.
Well, I'm getting a lot of pressure from the doctors that basically if I don't go in, that I'm already past due my due date, technically, because I'm 40 years old, I'm supposed to be giving birth at 39 weeks instead of 40. So they said that, well, do you want a dead baby? Like, I don't want to see you with a dead baby. I mean, I wouldn't want that to happen to you. And I just had a mother who had a dead baby like that at 40 weeks. And I was like, I walked out of there crying. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, I asked a family friend who's an OB, and she said the same thing because she's also in the same exact mindset of like, this is what ACOG says, that we're supposed to induce you at 39 weeks because you have no reason to be pregnant anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so am I, so now I didn't sleep last night because I was terrified. Is my baby still alive? Is he alive? Like, it's so hard. Like, I'm feeling so great. I have zero discomfort with the pregnancy. If it was up to me, I could be pregnant for another month because I feel great. I had no complications except for a slight thyroid, you know, thing where my thyroid was a little bit lower. And I think it was like 0.1 lower or something like that. So they gave me a thyroid medicine for that. I don't know how that affects the labor, but they haven't said to me that, oh, because of that, you know, you're in this grave danger or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
and are you feeling, is baby moving normally and all of that?
Yeah,
they did. Said your NST was good,
right? Yeah, I did. They did the NST yesterday. They said it was perfect. They even said that I had mild contractions on it that I didn't feel. The NST, you know, showed like the spikes that they were looking for. And it stayed in the normal range between 110 and 160 the whole time. So basically the NST nurse said that, yeah, everything looks great. They didn't schedule it for every day, which I feel like now they actually send an automatic message to me that, oh, we scheduled your induction for next Friday, which I would be 40 plus 5.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so yesterday you're telling me my baby may die because of my age. Now I asked them to call me. I'm like, can a real doctor call me? Because these are residents and they give you like a few minutes every time you see a different one. You know, you don't really have a relationship with them. Plus, you know, they're under the supervision of some attending physician or something. So I was like, can I speak to someone about a plan? Because I've been asking them to talk to me about a plan for the past month. I even had a birth plan and said, let's go over that. Let's see a timeline. And they said, yeah, we're going to do it. They were supposed to do it 2 weeks ago, but the resident was out of town. So they never went over a timeline. They never went over a plan. All I told them was that I would prefer to go into labor naturally. I would prefer not to be induced. I prefer more regular monitoring if that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Just like that, I said the exact same thing. And they said, okay, so they did twice a week monitoring. And now that they scheduled me for 40 plus 5, they're still trying to do the twice a week monitoring.
Yeah. And how do you feel about all that?
I mean, it makes me super nervous because now they put it in my head, you know, that I'm supposed to be so worried because I'm 40, even though I didn't have to see a doctor for the last 15 years. I never had any health issues, you know, like yeah. I work healthy, like I'm not an unhealthy 40-year-old. I literally never really had health issues. So I'm not sure how that compares to other 40-year-olds, but I didn't even have discomfort in the pregnancy. Like, I didn't have heartburn, I didn't have pain. If I had something, it was like 3 days and I was able to fix it just intuitively, just like eating yogurt if I was constipated, or, you know, if I had a back pain, I would stretch. Like, I just figured it out in a few days. So I never had any kind of discomfort that lasted more than a couple of days. Yeah. And now at the last stretch, it's like they continuously kept ruining my experience by these doomsday scenarios that it's always something bad, you know, right around the corner. It just, I wasn't able to enjoy the pregnancy, even though the pregnancy was kind of flawless in a sense, you know?
Yeah, and
now they're ruining the labor. Now is the labor, like, oh, now I have to be, today I did the pumping. I actually collected a tiny bit of colostrum.
Yeah.
Milliliters in the little Hakka collectors. And I did some YouTube video that says activating labor that everybody swears by. Nothing happened because I do squats, I guess, anyways, already sometimes. So
yeah.
It didn't really do much for me.
The only science behind anything is nipple stimulation, and it's 3 hours of nipple stimulation. So that might be something you could try.
Yeah, I did it for, I think, 30 minutes until the pump automatically stopped.
Yeah.
So I kept doing it. And, you know, I was telling my fiance, let's have sex. You know, I'm trying everything. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can get this started. So I'm not, you know, like, I can get it out of the way, because at this point, I just don't ever want to see these doctors again. And actually, it kind of worries me how the pediatrics are going to be after. I'm like, is this going to be the same thing? You know, continuously telling you, like, how you're supposed to worry.
It's a little different with the pediatrics, but what I would say is that if you want to help yourself go into labor, and it's not guaranteed, but the 3 hours of nipple stimulation is a pretty good starting point. You haven't had a vaginal exam, right? You haven't had a cervical exam?
No, I told them no, because I wasn't feeling any signs of labor. And I don't, I mean, if I put my finger up there, I don't feel my cervix at all. Like, it's pretty far up probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the only way to really feel your cervix is on the toilet, sitting with your legs kind of up and your knees up. Uh-huh. But it's still kind of hard. So,
okay.
You know, it's so hard when they drop like dead baby and all of these, like you said, doomsday things, because you're like, gosh, what if I'm making the wrong decision? What if this does happen? And then it's like, it's so difficult, you guys. Like, I went through this with Grayson because I was 42. So my biggest thing is that for me, like, having the NSTs and the checks really helped. Have they offered to do any more than two or no?
Well, I wrote to them because they didn't call me today, even though I asked, like, can you, I wrote to them yesterday and said, can somebody please call me that I can speak to?
And they haven't.
That will sum up what's going on. And she also said that, oh, and your severe thyroid condition is a risk factor. And I'm like, severe? Like, can you please tell me where the severe is? Because nobody told me this, that it was severe, because it's just 0.1, like a tiny bit out of the normal range. And the other one is actually in the normal range. It's 3 point something, but they
only saw that on your labs.
Hmm?
I saw that on your labs that you sent us in your labor bat signal.
I'm like, is it severe? Like, are you sure it's severe? It's like, yeah, it's very severe. I'm like, and I feel like at that point, she just literally wanted to shove it in my face that she was right about what her agenda was in the situation.
And you haven't heard back from them?
No, and then today I wrote to them again and I told them what she told me, because at this point I was pissed. I'm like, you know what? This is what she told me. This is how I'm feeling about it. I walked out of there crying. I would like to speak to someone, because now they scheduled me at 40+5. Yet they're talking about dead babies and they didn't increase the NSTs. I'm like, is someone going to, like, you know, do something additional to what, you know, they did that, like, yesterday. And so she said, oh yeah, I forwarded your message to whoever it is that's supposed to be forwarded to. If they don't call you, then call the office. You know, which is like, it's a clinic. You get to the front desk and then you leave a message.
That's so frustrating, especially when they're saying dead baby and all of this. Like, it's like.
Like, she said it at least 5 times in that conversation. She said she really wanted to dig it into my head that what I'm doing is incredibly irresponsible. it was her words. I don't want you to be pregnant. You have zero reason to be pregnant. Your baby's ready to come out. This is what we do. We induce people. And I'm like, first time mothers, from what I've learned, they don't even go into labor until like 40 plus five.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you don't even get the chance.
How do you feel about potentially being induced at 40 and five?
That's fine. I mean, if I get to that point, I feel like, you know, at some point, yeah, of course, I'm going to say, yeah, I went to that point. Yeah. Fine. But at 39, that's not even full term. Like, is this really like that dangerous, you know? Yeah.
Well, and it seems like they would have scheduled it sooner if they felt that way.
Well, they, you know, they said, actually, what they, and again, these are residents and I see a different one every time for like 3 minutes, you know, it wasn't really a long conversation. They didn't sit down with me to make the plan, even if though I asked for it four times. So all they said was, we're going to start talking induction at 39 weeks. And all I said was, I would prefer not to be induced. I prefer more regular monitoring, if that's a possibility.
And then they didn't talk to you about a plan.
And that was it. That was the conversation. They put a note that she doesn't want to be induced. And then they start, you know, when I was there yesterday, which is 32, then they start talking about the dead babies.
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Definitely, for sure. Keep me updated. Keep me updated in your labor bat signal, because I know this is like really mentally challenging.
It's like it puts you on this guilt. Like I didn't sleep last night. I sleep 10 hours a day. Like I literally have such great sleep. I am not uncomfortable sleeping. Like I literally have no discomfort with the pregnancy. Last night I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Because all I could think about was, am I supposed to go to the hospital now? Am I going to kill my baby? You know, it's like,
yeah.
And I'm not relaxed since then. And I'm like, now I'm just like trying to induce labor. Like I'm doing everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what I would tell you to do is tomorrow, just relax, take a deep breath and do something that Aggie loves to do.
So,
and just spend some time with your fiance and just let that worry go. Get a hold of your provider if you can and talk to them and tell them what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, and tell them you want to know that babies
are. Yeah, okay. I was pretty straightforward in my message today to them. And I made it as harsh as it was at the appointment. And I told them, and I don't want to talk to this resident anymore because she made me feel really terrified.
Yeah. Well, and you know the saying that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So the more, I would just do it like two or three times a day until you hear from them. You know? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to cut you off, but I definitely want to hear what some of the other moms are feeling. I know that a couple of them had some things that they were saying. Erica said that if you were having some really terrible thyroid issues, you would be feeling bad.
Yeah, and I don't, first of all, since I started taking that thyroid medication, I'm more irritable, I'm more tired. Like before that, I was so peaceful, I was enjoying, like I literally had me in such a good hormonal state. I was like spiritually enlightened for most of it. And then when I started taking the thyroid medication, I don't know if it's because it's the last month, you know, it could be
the end of pregnancy too, just to be real.
But somehow, coincidentally, I started taking this thyroid medication. All of a sudden, I'm irritable. I'm angry. I don't have patience.
Also at the end of pregnancy. So that sounds normal.
Well, it didn't help. Let's put it that way. The thyroid medication didn't do anything positive.
Well, thank you for sharing. And I'm definitely thinking about you. And for sure, send me a message if you need any encouragement.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, Jasmine, how are you?
Hi, Trish. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
So I wanted to introduce myself. I have taken, I think, all of your courses now. I've done the Calm birthing course and the positioning course and newborn and all those things. Awesome. And one very quick question that I had was, if your water breaks, similar to Mary, do you wait the 412 until going to the hospital? Or once your water breaks, is that the sign to go to the hospital?
So you're a first time mama?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a couple different parameters that I recommend. So if you're first time mom, low risk, nothing else going on, then the very first thing you do is note like what color is the water. So if it's like really green and murky and nasty, then you're going to want to probably go in because you've got some meconium. There's a couple things we can do if you have meconium to help thin it out. If it's predominantly blood, you're going to get in the car and you're going to go. If it's clear, normal, nothing else going on, doesn't have a really bad odor. Amniotic fluid has a weird odor, but it doesn't have a bad odor. So if you smell it and you're like, ugh, like it's putrid and it's rank, then you may have an infection. So that's a whole nother story. But if it just comes out, it's clear, it's pinkish, it's got some blood in it, not a ton of blood, but some blood is normal. So don't be worried about some blood. Then I recommend that you wait for labor to start. If labor does not start for 6 to 8 hours, then you might want to go in to get some help because we want to get the labor started. What can happen, and actually, I actually have some stuff to show you guys that totally falls into this because I was filming reels before we got started. So I'm going to show you guys a couple things. This right here is called an amni hook. Can you guys see it okay? So this is what they use to break your water. At the tip, I say it looks like a knitting needle. It's got like a little sharp tip. And what they do is they'll go in and break your water. So I kept this out just for you guys. So when your water breaks, you can have a really slow leak like this, right? So a slow leak like this might not necessarily get labor really going. So when your water breaks, it's not like labor just starts. Now, if you have like a I don't know if you guys can see that coming out, but if you have like a really strong leak where that water really comes out, baby engages, because if you think about it, baby is floating inside that bag, right? So if the water breaks, if there were anything inside of this, it would come straight to that hole just by being suctioned down. So if baby comes nice and down, and usually that's when your water breaks, you have a, you know, pretty good gush, baby's gonna suction down. Well, remember I taught you guys that baby's head on your cervix is part of that cycle of labor progressing. So if your water breaks and baby's tries, you know, floating inside there because you have like a little, I don't know how much you guys can see of that leak that I got going. If you just have a little leak, it's dripping, baby might not suck down there. So if your water breaks, contractions are not regular, contractions are not happening, then I want you to wait about 6 to 8 hours, as long as everything's good. You're going to note what time your water breaks. You're going to note the color, the amount. If you have a huge amount, you're going to write down pretty good amount, you know. And so if the water breaks, nothing's happening, then you, if you're a student, start, make sure you're in your labor vat signal, because Taylor and I, or Lene and I, is our new doula, will give you some suggestions on what to do on to get labor to progress. Once 6 to 8 hours happen, if labor's not happening, like you're not contracting, you know, you haven't hit the correct contraction rule, it's just not going, then I want you to go into the hospital. What might need to happen, because you actually have two amniotic layers. So sometimes what will happen is the outer layer will break, but the inner layer won't. So we've got the, you know, so they may have to do the fore bag. They may have to break all the way through to the hind bag. That might get labor started. A lot of times what happens if labor's not starting, you go in, they break it and they want to start Pitocin. What I recommend is you say, hey, let's hold off. Now you've broken my water, like, you know, everything's going, let's see how my body does. But you may need like what I call a sniff of Pitocin to get things going. Because we don't want you to get past that 24 hours too much without labor happening, because the risk of infection is so much higher. Now, if you're at home, water breaks, labor starts going, then what I want you to do is kind of double the contraction rule. The reason I say that is because if you wait for 4-1-2 and water's broken, it may switch through transition really fast. So what I recommend is you maybe wait till like 7 to 8 minutes apart, lasting 1 minute for 2 hours. So hopefully that's a really detailed answer to that question.
No, that's perfect. That was one of my questions I was a little bit confused about. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Now, if you're GBS positive, you're going to want to double that even more. So you're going to want to go in when your contractions are about 10 to 12 minutes apart, lasting for 60 seconds for 1 hour. so that we can get if you're going to be treated. If you don't want to be treated, which you guys have every right to not be treated, then you don't have to do that. But if you want to get treated by antibiotics, then you need to go in a little bit sooner because we want to get two doses in to be effective. All right, let me hop to Erica. Hey, Erica, and welcome, Jasmine. Hi, Erica. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
Awesome. So I just wanted to check in because we did our 32-week ultrasound on Thursday last week. So, and I was just 32 on that day. So, but he is showing like low fetal weight. He's dropped down below the 10%. When we did our 20-week ultrasound, he was in like the 21 percentile, and now he's dropped down below 10. And so they're wanting to do extra monitoring, which I'm totally fine with, doing the non-stress test once a week. And then every other week I do another ultrasound, like follow-up ultrasound. So, but in some of my, cause like, you know, I asked the doctor, I'm like, okay, what can I do different? Cause I do have several, I've got, five fibroids now that they're keeping measurements of. And then I have my thyroid. I only have half a thyroid. And then I also have celiac disease. So I have several factors that could, you know, contribute to maybe he's not getting the right nutrition or whatnot, even though I eat really healthy. And I like asking the doctor, what can I do? What do I do? And he's like, oh, you don't need to do anything or change anything. I'm like, okay. And he's like, what are you doing for workouts? So I told him, you know, like, which I backed down like prior to, you know, because as I got more pregnant, I don't work out as intensely as I did prior to pregnancy. But so I told him what I was doing. He's like, oh, he's like, I'm fine with you still doing all of what you're doing. And, you know, it's just basically like birth ball and yoga and then some Pilates and a little bit of spin bike still is all I'm doing for workout wise. But, so I'm just kind of like, I started, you know, of course I did the come home and Google because the doctor didn't really give me much information to go on. And we were just kind of worried. And I was like looking at the ultrasound reports and like report, like comparing 20 week to the 32 week and the percentiles and measurements and all that. And so like, I realized like, oh, this is a thing that they could want to do induction for if like his growth doesn't change, I guess. I don't know. I'm just not really familiar.
One of the things I would say is, what about his proportions? Like, are they proportionate?
So no, and that was that's one thing that I'm really confused about after like looking at the reports and like digging into it and like comparing the 20 week to the 30 week or the 32 week one, is that like his head measurements are in like the 30th percentile, like somewhere in that range. And it was like his limb measurements are like the small ones. And so I was like, does this mean like his whole body just isn't growing? Or, and he was all like, he had both hands, both feet, like up by his face.
You know what his abdomen was. So here's the hard thing. The bigger they get, the harder it is to really measure their body or their limbs, because there's not as much room. So it's like, think about it. If you were trying to measure something that's all like bent up, it's very hard. So that's why they don't even change your dates from the beginning. So what I would say is, let's wait till the next ultrasound. But if it were me, I would add in like a safe protein shake or something like that.
That's what because I do protein shakes anyway. And whatnot. But I mean, that's the logical things that I was like, okay, I'm going to up my protein and I'm going to up my healthy fats. Yeah. So I started doing that, like just adding in, you know, like an additional couple snacks throughout the day and making sure that those snacks, you know, because a lot of my snacks were like just having fruit type of thing. And so I was like, okay, I need to have a protein probably with every time I'm having a snack, and just upping, you know, protein intake and then healthy fats is what I was thinking too. So
I'm really interested in the next one because I feel like one is not very indicative of what's going on. I feel like, do they have another ultrasound scheduled?
Yeah, I've got them scheduled out for like every other week. So I go on the 19th because I did an NST yesterday because they want me to do those weekly. And then they're going to do the ultrasound every other week because I have to drive like an hour and a half to do the growth ultrasounds, but I can do the NSTs at the hospital. It's like right across the street from us. So I would
just let the fear go.
Okay.
Throw it out. blow it out, do your deep breaths. If you guys did the birth trauma mama, if you haven't watched her workshop, even if you haven't delivered, she gave some amazing techniques for dealing with stress and anxiety. Just blow it out and let it go and do not Google.
I know.
Not allowed to Google people. You guys understand that anybody can post whatever. So I would say, like, you know, let's wait till the next one, because it's really hard to say. Let's see what the next one says. You know, okay, if the baby is diagnosed as IUGR, which is intrauterine growth restriction, then it may be reasonable that delivery is the smart choice, because if baby isn't growing, if baby's not getting the nutrients, then the best thing is for baby to be outside of you. And you will be able to handle that if that's the case, I promise.
Yeah, like I feel, I mean, I've calmed down from like that initial first night, because it's hard. I mean, you feel like you're failing, you know, because yeah, I work really hard to eat healthy, eat clean, and, you know,
That's an important point. You're doing all the right things. It really isn't about you and what you're doing.
Okay. You know? Yeah. That was hard to accept. Like, my husband just kept telling me, he's like, you're doing everything right. He's like, you're not doing anything wrong. He's like, it's, you know, you're okay. And I was like, but I mean, like, I feel like, you know, I'm the one growing the baby. So why is it not, you know, why are they telling me he's not growing enough or whatnot?
That's a valid emotion, but at the same time, there's really not much you can do in that matter. So it's like, it's kind of like someone blaming themselves if they get sick or they have something, you know, it's like,
yeah,
body has some parts of its own mind. So, you know, like what you can control, you're doing right. And you need to give yourself credit for that.
Okay.
And stress can be difficult. So trying to like relax and just remember, like, you're doing everything right. If it were an emergent situation, they would let you know, and it's not. So
yeah, like the doctor didn't seem like really, you know, like panicked or anything about it. He was just like, okay, we're just going to do extra monitoring and, you know, you'll do this extra testing. So, which.
Well, and I had to go through that with Lainey. The same thing. And she actually was below. She's never been on the growth chart, and she's 4'11" and she's 17. So, you know?
Yeah. And my husband and I are both smaller. Like, neither one of us are very tall. We're not like big people. My husband especially is, you know, he's 5'8" and weighs like maybe 10, 15 pounds more than I do. So he's not big either. So
that it's kind of my ex-husband too. Same thing. So yeah, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
As long as we don't see a trend of baby going farther down, then I would say, like, let's just keep doing the right thing, reminding yourself that you're doing all that you can. That's all you can do.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you.
If you need to send a DM or anything, if you need more encouragement, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, Dana, how are you?
Hi, Trish. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful. Well, I have a couple questions for you on Pitocin today.
Sure.
So I think we talked about this at one of these other classes, but I had talked to my doctor about the going low and slow with the Pitocin if we need it. And she had mentioned, I guess, the same as Mary, like they started at 2 and then go up by 2. And I wanted to put in my birth plan, like, I think we had talked, or you had said, like, we could do the 0.5. I don't know if it's microliters.
So normally 1 to 2 milliliters. So I always recommend starting at 1.
Okay. So start at 1 and go up by 1?
Yeah. 1 by 1. It's so the order, like the standing order at, and I've been at some of the top facilities in the U.S., is 1 to 2 milliunits up every 30 minutes by 1 to 2 milliunits. Now, if I'm your labor nurse, I just automatically start by 1 because my order is 1 to 2. So I always start by 1 and then I fluff around and maybe 45 minutes or so, I'll go up by 1 again. But they like you to go, they like it to be pretty regular. But yes, you can absolutely say that you want it 1 by 1.
Okay. And then I had,
I bet talked with my doctor that you even said that.
What was that?
She's probably floored that you even know the order or anything like that.
Yeah, I get a lot of kind of dumbfounded looks from my doctor. But the other thing is, we were talking about Pitocin afterwards, you know, after the baby's out, and then just to help with hemorrhage after. And I had said I didn't want that. She recommended it, but then I was doing some research and I had read that if you're getting Pitocin, it actually said that massage and traction was beneficial to help pull the placenta out before your uterus kind of closed in on it. And I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
Yeah. So first of all, are you like, do you guys, do you have a reason why you think you'll be receiving Pitocin during labor, or are you just...
No, I mean, I'm in kind of Aggie's same situation, and I'm 42 and I get all the fear and, you know, induction. And I keep saying no. And I don't have anything happening yet either. So I'm just making my birth plan and trying to be proactive that if it gets to that point that I need to be induced and we're using Pitocin.
Well, and I don't want any of you guys to think that if you decide that induction is right for you, that that's wrong. I just want you guys to make the decision for yourself that it's the right thing for you. And I had Grayson when I was 42, so I get it. I was on blood thinners, but so I ended up being induced just because I felt it was, he was baby number 6. I was on blood thinner, so I already had like all the risks in the world for a hemorrhage. You know, and hemorrhage is one of the number one maternal morbidities. So, I felt more comfortable in hindsight, honestly, since I had Grayson. I've taken so many different, I've just opened up to different worlds and like been exposed to a lot of different, education outside of what the hospitals provide. And I think I would have made a little bit of a different decision, but I still think you have to do what brings you peace, because that's super important as well. So as far as Pitocin after delivery, if they're going low and slow, the reason they say that is because traditionally with Pitocin, they're going to saturate those Pitocin oxytocin receptors. Once those receptors are saturated, then your uterus kind of gets like janky, like it just can't do its job the right way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why they're saying that. So if they go low and slow, and they don't, and what the studies have shown is that around 6 to 7 milliunits. Now imagine if they're going up by 2 every 30 minutes, how quick you can get to 6 to 7 milliunits, right? But if they're going up by 1, it's going to take a little longer. There's also like, you know, all the other things to get you to that point where they start Pitocin, but we can talk about that later. But if they're going low and slow and your oxytocin receptors are not saturated, then a hands-off third stage of labor is completely appropriate. And so that's what I recommend. Now, you have to, you know, if you've got a couple factors for high risk for hemorrhage, then I am all for being preventative and using the oxytocin after delivery. If you're asking about that, it like for me, it's a no-brainer. I've had so many babies, you know, like I need the oxytocin after delivery, because it's like my midwife said, my uterus is like a worn out rubber band that's been, you know, flip too many times, it's just kind of hanging there. So, you know, the more babies you have, the higher risk you are. If your platelets are low, if you have any other high risk factor, then I think erring on the side of caution as far as post-delivery Pitocin is probably smart. And, you know, you guys know I'm not fear-based, like I don't make fear-based decisions, but like I said, one of the top leading causes of death for mothers is hemorrhaging. So, you know, we don't want to take any chances in that.
And I'm not necessarily opposed to the Pitocin after, but I didn't want traction on the cord and pulling, like having them help the placenta.
And what did
she? And I think that's where I'm.
Did you talk to her? Well,
I mean, I did, and she said, "Well, I do massage and I do traction," and I.
Oh, I lost her.
Showing that traction can cause some piece of the placenta left in. Yeah, but then that's where I did come across some research where they said if you're getting Pitocin after, traction actually can help it and be better. So I'm kind of just like, okay, so is traction actually an okay thing if I'm getting Pitocin, or if, do you know, does that make sense? I don't know. Yeah. It's, now I'm confused.
No, it totally makes sense. And I am okay with the fundal massage that they do, but I would be more apt to be okay with the fundal massage than the traction. But you can also ask her, you know, if you're on Pitocin and those seeds are going to even do like a gentle traction. I've seen some providers just do like a bare, like what they do is they wrap the cord around their tool there, and they kind of just kind of twist a little. You can just ask her to do like just a gentle traction where she's keeping a firm, like a firm little hold on it, but she's not actively pulling.
Okay. I mean, right now I have my birth plan. I'm okay with the massage only and no traction still.
Yeah. That's personally what I'm okay with as well.
Okay.
You know, the thing is that our bodies are so incredible. The problem is that doctors are trained for the emergency to intervene. They're not trained like midwives. If you had a midwife, I guarantee you'd be hearing a different story about traction and massage. They might be more apt to do massage, but not as much traction.
But is there any reason to ask for like the post-Pitocin after the placenta's birthed, or is that not
most
really?
Most doctors do it after the
placenta. Letting it do its job.
No, that most.
Okay. And she said it would be right after. Away.
Oh, she said before okay. Placenta?
Yeah, she said basically once the baby came out, they would start it, is so how she does it.
To me, if you're getting it and you're okay with it, it doesn't matter. Once the baby's out, like it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But there's like majority, probably 80% of providers that use Pitocin after delivery, which they most do, are going to do it after placenta's out. It's more of a new movement that they're doing it before placenta.
Okay. So maybe I'll add that to my plan too.
Yeah. Well, it's
all right. Well,
thanks for coming and asking. That was a great question. I haven't had that one before on the happy hours.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate your response. Thank you. Appreciate you doing these.
Oh, you're welcome. I've got a little bit more time if anybody wants to check in with me. Jenny, how are you feeling? You look like you're ready to go to bed.
I am ready to go to bed.
How's the baby doing?
She failed her hearing in her right ear at the hospital. She passed that yesterday.
Oh, good.
So she's good with both ears now.
Awesome.
Tomorrow we have an appointment with a dermatologist. I don't know if you saw my last message a few weeks ago when I got off the happy hour that day, but her doctor had just called and said, oh, well, she has a cyst on her face. You have to go get it drained.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a cyst. So the dermatologist hopefully is going to tell us hopefully more about what's going on with her face, because she has a bump on her face that has slowly grown.
Oh, wow.
Since she was about the past 4 weeks, it's just slowly just started getting bigger.
So it's a cyst. What are they thinking? Or do they have any idea?
I'm not sure yet.
God, that's so hard. I know it's so hard when something's going on with your child.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like it's bothering her at all.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Yeah. She's a happy little girl.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm nervous about it. Because, yeah, I don't know what they're going to be saying. We also have an MRI scheduled for it, too, and at the beginning of next month. Okay. So hopefully everything goes smoothly, though, tomorrow. She hates the car.
Oh my gosh, Grayson did too. It was horrible, horrible. I'll tell you what worked is to put something. So I have an infant massager that vibrates. I would put it in his car seat with him. I'm trying to see if, oh, I have one, but it's packed up. Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's the
only thing. It plays music and it vibrates.
The other thing I would do is I would reach back and I would tap my wedding ring, like my ring on, because I wear my dad's wedding ring. I would tap it on the top of the car seat to make a noise. That would work. And then the other thing was one particular song. Well, let us know. Let me and Taylor know. Do you still have your labor signal going?
I think I do.
Okay. Well, post tomorrow because I'm going to be thinking about you.
Yeah, because I think we might be home during the postpartum happy hour tomorrow. Okay. So if we are, then I'll hop on.
Okay, good. Taylor's leading it tomorrow. I'm going to do my best to try to stay off. I'm trying to set boundaries where I don't work every single night. It's so hard. And just so you guys know, the postpartum happy hour is incredible. Incredible. All right. Well, yeah, keep us posted for sure.
I will.
Does anybody else have a question? Anything they want to ask me? I'm more than happy to stay on a little bit longer if you have one. Just pop on and let me know. Anybody? All right, ladies. I'm going to go snuggle with my baby. All right. Have a good night. I'll see you guys. Make sure if you're postpartum, come tomorrow night. And we've got Fearless Birth Experience tomorrow. You guys come and I have a form. If you fill it out and let me know what you're doing, I'm giving away some really good prizes to you guys. I have a couple companies that I think I have lined up that are going to give you guys prizes. So whoever participates in Fearless Birth is going to get some prizes. All right. Have a great night.